Packers fans, and welcome into the Green 19 podcast brought to you by JS Online and PackersNews.com. I am Cassidy Hill, joined by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood. Guys, I'm going to give you a moment to introduce yourself because it's been so long since we've done one of these things. I'm worried our listeners have forgot who we are.
Hello, I am Tom Silverstein. That's all you need to know.
I am Ryan Wood, and let me tell you, entering eighth season now with this team, another playoff. I'm just sitting here wondering if this is going to be different than the previous 7 years. I think that that's what everyone wants to know.
When y'all were introducing yourselves, first of all, that was just a microcosm of who each of you are. How you introduced yourselves, Ryan's was like a whole rundown with opinions, and Spoon's was just like, "Hello, I'm Tom Silverstein." I couldn't.
I don't like to reveal.
I think this is because I watch too many crime shows. But Spoon, I just like immediately thought about what would happen if you were ever kidnapped and they made you like, and they tried to send a ransom video to your family, and they put a camera on you, and you were just.
This is getting really dark. This is getting really dark here.
And you were just like,
they'd be up a creek if they sent something asking for my family to give money.
Maybe they don't want money. Maybe they want information. You know a lot of stuff, Tom.
They would get nothing out of my family.
It sounds like a really bad movie. Like they kidnap you to get Packers information and intel out of you.
But no, I'm just picturing you sitting there like in a dark basement, tied up, like chained up to a wall, and you're like, "Well, I guess you've kidnapped me." Okay.
We should say that Spoon is actually sitting in the dark right now. You can't see, but we're
Spoon, have you been kidnapped? I don't feel like your demeanor would change one bit if you had been kidnapped. Blink twice. Well,
let's not find out, okay?
Yeah.
Blink
yeah.
Once if you're safe. No suggestions. Twice if you need help. Oh my gosh, we're already off the rails. I'm sorry, it was my fault. I'm who sent us off the rails. Let's get back on track. The Packers play a game this weekend. They didn't play last weekend. It was nice. It was fun to sit on the couch and watch three straight days of football. That is all I did. But the Packers do have a big, big game this weekend. NFC divisional matchup against the San Francisco 49ers. Guys, this game, to me, almost more than any others, first of all, I would like to take a moment and get on my soapbox and say that I was right when I called this matchup a few weeks ago. Spoon laughed at me. Spoon has been right 99% of the time when we predict these things, but he was wrong about this one. I was right.
I didn't laugh at you.
You laughed in your little Spoon way. Like, you wouldn't actually laugh, but I saw it in your eyes. What a stupid take.
I'm not sure I've ever seen Spoon actually laugh.
You said, I think it's going to be the Cowboys, and I want to see Mike McCarthy back at Lambeau Field, which was your way of telling me I was dumb for thinking it'd be the 49ers.
Oh, I was telling you what I wanted to see.
But you're always right. So what you wanted to see was going to be what happened.
No, I thought it would be a better story than seeing the 49ers again.
Well,
many 49 Packers 49ers playoff games. It's like, I want to see something else.
You want to see something new. Well, it didn't happen because Mike McCarthy instead did the most Mike McCarthy thing ever and handled the last 14 seconds of a game completely wrong with clock management.
I question that. I mean, it didn't work, but I am not completely against that strategy. It wasn't executed quite right. Like,
yeah.
Prescott should have gone down right when he got the first down. But, you know, everybody's crucifying him. They still have to score a touchdown.
Right.
And that wasn't going to be easy. I thought they gave themselves a chance at least. Yeah. But, yeah, the execution was poor.
And I guess that's my qualm with it, is the execution. Sure, you can say it's a good decision, but the execution was wrong. But when there's 14 seconds left on the clock, the execution is everything. That's part of the call when you have that little time left, right?
I agree. That's one little second matters. And
think about it. If Dak Prescott had gone down 5 yards earlier, he already had the first down. If he had gone down 5 yards earlier, that's a whole other second on the clock.
Yep. And maybe he should have been coached better to, as soon as you see you're across the first down, drop, because then you can clock the ball and you get one shot.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
I thought it was a good, I mean, really, no defense is expecting that, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but that's one of those calls too. I know that you almost, I try to almost never make a decision based on retrospect, but that is one of those calls where if you're going to make it, it better work out. Like, that better not be the way your season ends. You cannot let that happen. So,
especially, yeah. You, if you know you're going to run it, you know that means at most you've got two plays left. And to,
well, what are the odds? What are the completion odds of a Hail Mary?
It depends on if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback or not.
Like 5%? Like, is that even that high? Of all the Hail Marys, how many have connected? 1%?
I'm spoiled because I've seen it happen. So, you know.
And I guess that's my whole thing is you're going to set yourself up to – it still would almost have been a Hail Mary from that point of the field. But like,
no, that was 35 yards. That was like,
yeah, that's verticals. Right?
Still, I guess too, is the end of the game clock running down. I don't know. It depends on your definition of a Hail Mary. I think it's anything in a clutch situation. Other people say Hail Marys are anything you just toss up with a prayer.
Yeah, that's what a Hail Mary is. It's, you know, a quarterback throwing the ball as far as he can into the end zone, you know, from 35 yard line. I don't think that's a Hail Mary. You're running a play there.
Right. To get timing is what I was thinking of, but yeah, that's different. All of that to say the 49ers beat the Cowboys and they're going to be coming to Lambeau Field on Saturday to face the Packers in the NFC divisional round. Kickoff is a time that I don't remember right now off the top of my head, but thank you. There is a 50% chance of snow. I do know that. Low of 4, high of 22. Guys, that sort of weather means that this is going to be a ground game. And normally that would benefit the Packers with A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. But the 49ers may be one of the few teams in the league that can go toe-to-toe to them when it comes down to a rushing game, time of possession game. Spoon, who do you think this benefits more on Saturday?
Weather,
not just the weather, but the idea that a rushing attack will be what both teams want to lean on.
Well, if you were asking which team runs the ball better, I would take the 49ers. But I don't think the Packers are ever out of throwing the ball. I don't, unless it's the whatever year that was in Chicago when it was like 50 mile an hour winds. They can throw the ball. Aaron Rodgers can throw the ball in any type of climate. And so I think that's what kind of gives them the advantage of playing in Lambeau. They've had two guys who can play in cold weather. And so I don't think there's much of a, unless wind is a factor, I don't think there's really a condition that he can't throw it.
That's a very good point. So with that being said, Ryan, let me pose a different question to you. This 49ers secondary are not world beaters. They're not something that I would be scared of, but they have come up with some big picks here in recent weeks. You know, they've got Emmanuel Mosley back. They've got that young guy that picked off Dak Prescott, which led to the Deebo Samuel touchdown versus Dallas. I mean, where do you see a weakness in their secondary that Rodgers can attack? And granted, if anybody's going to find a weakness, it's going to be Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. But where in this 49ers secondary do you think could be attacked? Or do you think it's Aaron Rodgers? He's going to outplay anyone no matter what.
Well, let me ask you, where's Devontae Adams lining up? Because that's probably inside. I mean, all over the field, but that's probably where he's throwing. So I don't think they look at it as where's the weakness. I think they look at it where's 17 and get him the ball. You know, I think it's important that Alan Lazard has emerged as a guy that could potentially give them some type of complimentary piece, especially with Marquez Valdes-Scantling not practicing today. Not in pads, but when everyone else was out there after practicing Wednesday, Don't know his status. But yeah, I think it's whether he's in the slot or on the perimeter, it's throw the ball to 17. He's going to get double-digit targets. I don't know how the 49ers will line up against him. I'm not sure the Packers all care all that much how the 49ers line up. They're throwing 17 the ball.
Spoon, Ryan and I did a Facebook Live earlier today, and someone said the Packers don't have to run trick plays because with the way Devontae Adams plays, he is a trick play. So, I mean, can you subsist entirely on a game plan where you're just using Devontae Adams, or can this Packers offensive line get enough of a push against a 49ers defense that includes Fred Warner, could very possibly include Nick Bosa as well if he comes back from concussion protocol?
I think it's important for the Packers to try to make San Francisco rely on depth in the secondary. So I wouldn't be surprised if they actually try to spread San Francisco out a little bit and see if they can work on some of their corners and see if they can get a good matchup that they like. Right? You know, Embry Thomas is a rookie and they would love to get Devontae Adams on him. He's, you know, nobody, even the veteran guys have trouble covering Adams. And so I think that'll be a big thing, especially with Randall Cobb coming back. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to, you know, everybody thinks they're going to run. I think they might come out trying to throw against the 49ers and try to take advantage of their depth or lack of depth in the secondary.
I'm going to let both of you guys answer this. And Spoon, I'll start with you since we're already on you. Do you think Randall Cobb's bigger contribution on Saturday will come on offense or special teams?
Offense. I'm not even sure he'll be the special team guy. I don't know if they'll go with David Martin or
David Moore.
Moore, sorry. But no, Cobb's main contribution has got to be on offense. They need him on third downs. They need him to maybe do a little bit of what Deebo Samuel does to help get them, you know, some looks that they like. So I think his offensive presence is needed more than anything.
That's easier said than done. Go out there and beat Deebo Samuel. But Ryan, what do you think? Do you agree with Spoon or disagree?
I don't know that he's going to play all that much on special teams. So I guess you would say offense. I just see him as a fourth receiver. So I don't know how important he is on offense. He did have a huge game, was having a huge game the last time we saw him through the first half. But I just, a fourth receiver, I can't assign all that much significance to a guy that might not be in the top three. A lot of it's on MVS and if he's back, but I don't know. I don't know if Randall Cobb playing sways the game one way or the other.
Okay. Let's go into a little bit more though. On the other side of the ball, Spoon said that they might ask him to be Deebo Samuel. As I said, it's easier said than done. I almost feel like I need to ask this in a very specific way, but the best way to ask it is, how do you stop this guy? And Spoon, before I come to you first, let me just read you some stats. He's averaging 18 yards per reception and 6.3 yards per carry, both in the top five in the league with a minimum of 50 touches on both. That means he's a top five receiver and top five rusher in the league. I mean, that's insane. He has some of the best blockers in the league up front for him against, with not only that line, but George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk, who can be a decoy and then also an incredible blocker. He's got an offensive mastermind in Kyle Shanahan that can get him the ball. Do you commit secondary? Do you commit linebackers? Do you just pray? Like, what do you do to stop this kid?
Well, you know, really, I thought Joe Barry in the first meeting came up with an extremely effective way to handle San Francisco's offense. It changed a little bit later in the game, but what he did was he took away the perimeter from San Francisco. He would bring Devondre Campbell down to an outside linebacker position. And a lot of times it was opposite where Samuel was, so that if Samuel got the handoff, Campbell was sitting there waiting for him. And they were able to press everything inside. And I thought that was a huge advantage for them in that game. Now, San Francisco eventually kind of adjusted, and you know, in the fourth quarter they had a couple of drives and they threw it down the middle. And so what is really intriguing to me is, okay, Joe Barry came up with this idea of how to stop them. Now, does he do it again? Or knowing that Kyle Shanahan's got to come up with something to attack that, or does he come up with something completely different? The key is you got to stop their perimeter runs. You've got to find a way to keep them from getting outside. And because you want Deebo Samuel running through the middle of the line, you don't want him running around the end. And I think that's what they got to figure out how to do, but they did do it last time they met.
Now, you know what Ryan, they've got to do? You know what they've got to do, Spoon? They've got to find somebody to take on George Kittle. Because if you go back to that 2019 NFC Championship game, one mm-hmm. a factor in the passing game. Jimmy Garoppolo threw 8 passes, but he killed the biggest factor offensively for them in that game was George Kittle's blocking. It was as dominant of a blocking performance you'll ever see from a tight end. He killed them as a blocker. That it's not just, everyone talks about the scheme, but the having the personnel, that's huge. And they've got Yusuf, they've got Kittle, but they got to take on Kittle.
Yeah. And I was going to ask Ryan, I mean, as Spoon said, Joe Barry had a good plan in the first game, but in that first game, Deebo Samuel also had 2 carries for 0 yards. And so he was not yet really a factor in the way that he is now in that part of the offense. And so that kind of goes, I guess, into what you were saying, though, you've got to be able to take on George Kittle. If you can take out Kittle and you can take out Samuel, is there really anything else on this offense that you have to worry about? I mean, you're putting the game in Jimmy G's hand. You're asking him to get it deep downfield to Brandon Ayuk. I mean, how much – I guess here's my question. We've seen this Packers defense, when they have to focus on one aspect of the offense, be able to shut it down. I mean, you look at what they did with Dalvin Cook a couple of weeks ago. Granted, Minnesota did not want to be in that game one bit, but they were able to keep Dalvin Cook to like 13 yards on 12 carries, stuff like that. We've seen what they can do when they focus in on a run game, but when an offense is a little more balanced is when they have trouble, especially in the run. They like to dink and dunk with Jimmy, but does he provide enough threat over the top to stretch this Packers defense, and do they have the personnel they need on the back end as well to keep that from happening?
Well, here's the best way to prevent 300 rushing yards again. It's to make Jimmy Garoppolo throw the ball, because he didn't have to throw the ball. They were down 27-0 in the NFC Championship game at halftime 2 years ago. They couldn't stop the run. They got a slow, sluggish start. This is not an offense that's going to have Jimmy Garoppolo throw just to throw. They have to make him throw. So how do you do that? You don't let the 49ers jump out on top, which maybe the number one thing in this game is getting off to a good start. Because if they fall behind early, that can be death against a team like the 49ers that just they're going to milk that clock. So is there anything else on this offense if you take away those guys? The more Jimmy Garoppolo passes, the more opportunities you're going to have to play the football. If you're Packers secondary, the more chances you're going to be able to make to have game-changing turnovers. You've got to make him throw the ball. You cannot allow this team to get away with just having Jimmy Garoppolo throw 8 passes again.
Let me ask you this. Twice this season, because the 49ers season really turned around after week 8. They came back, they beat the Rams, they lost against the Cardinals, and then they rolled off 3 straight wins. In that stretch of 3 straight wins, they had back-to-back games with opening drives of 20-plus plays. and they think they held the ball on one of those drives for almost 10 minutes. So, Spoon, this is a very logistical question to a big picture idea, but if you win the toss, do you take the ball to get that, to hope for a fast start and just keep it out of their hands?
I don't know. I think I would play defense first. You know, when you're cold, it's just starting the game. Yeah, your defense is probably going to be at an advantage. So I would go on defense if I could. I just think the beginning of the game is probably the hardest as everyone's getting accustomed to the cold. And, you know, if you get that stop on the first series, that's huge. And, you know, then you gain the possibility of getting the ball. Well, you do get the ball in the second half. So I think I would definitely play defense.
Ryan, do you agree?
Matt LaFleur is not going to take the ball if he wins the coin toss. So, and I'm with Spoon. Yeah, I would play defense too. But what we would do, right? We know what Matt LaFleur is going to do. He's not taking the ball. And I think that if you're Matt LaFleur and you're the number one seed, you got the team that's got home field, and you're playing at your home stadium, and you switch. You switch what you've done all year at that point. I don't think that's the right message to send the team. I would be concerned just as much about that. Hey, we're doing something different now instead of what got us here. Matt LaFleur's, if they win the coin toss, they're deferring.
You know, I asked Matt LaFleur this week about anything he had learned in his first two playoff runs as a head coach that would cause him to do anything different this year. I was really hoping he would say not to kick the field goal, but he said, I learned I have to be consistent. I can't do something different just because it's the playoffs. So that goes to your point, Ryan, that he's not going to switch his entire playbook just because it's the playoff. That being said, it's still the playoffs. We know that they get a little more juice, that they have some stuff in their back pocket that they haven't pulled out yet that they're going to use. And that's what makes this game especially intriguing. And I know we've seen it several times now since they both become head coaches, but it is still Shanahan versus LaFleur, two guys who learned so much about what they know from each other. And so we might see that factor into play as well. Before I kind of go on to the Packers defense a little bit more here, Spoon, I'm just going to hop in and ask, like, what does that make a difference anymore? Have these two guys faced each other enough? Because when you think about it, especially how the schedule shakes out, they've actually faced each other a lot to be in two different divisions. So, Spoon, does that not matter anymore? Do they know enough about each other, and have they changed enough for that familiarity to not be a factor?
Yeah, it doesn't mean as much. I think maybe early on it did, but I think both teams know each other, and it's going to come down to – well, it almost always comes down to quarterback play. Really, that's, it's hard to have bad quarterback play and win. And I think what the Packers have to do that they haven't done this year is finish games, in the fourth quarter before the teams start to make a comeback. You know, they've had so many opportunities to build up double digit leads and finish off teams, and they haven't done it. And San Francisco is the first San Francisco game was a pretty good example. They had a drive right before San Francisco tied it up or took the lead where they could have scored. I mean, they were moving the ball but they couldn't finish. And, it's just like, in Baltimore, they couldn't finish off the Ravens and they had to hold them off. Same with Arizona. They were down at the 5-yard line and had a chance to finish them off. So I think that's the playoffs are about, maximizing your team and your effort. And I think they've got to be better offensively in terms of just being aggressive and finishing.
Ryan, as Spoon was saying, like, you know, it's kind of about being aggressive and on both sides of the ball. I mean, my goodness, Green Bay's defense is 28th in the league in red zone efficiency, and San Francisco is first in red zone efficiency on offense. So it's going to come down to the red zone, to who can be more physical. I got to talk to Laura Britt of NBC Sports Bay Area earlier this week, and she kind of talked a lot about when the 49ers flipped that switch, so to speak, and developed that identity as a more physical team. We're going to hear from her right now just to kind of see what she had to say about that.
The reality is there's not really any shutting down Devontae Adams. He's going to make plays. Aaron Rodgers loves to get the ball to him. You understand why. Who wouldn't? If you got Devontae Adams, get him the ball. And that's how the 49ers feel about Deebo Samuel. And you look at this becoming a tough physical game, to kind of go back to one of your other questions. No guy wants to bring down Deebo Samuel. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to bring down George Kittle. These guys look for contact. And so if I'm a Packers fan, I think that's something to watch in this game. Is Deebo Samuel is really tough. George Kittle is really tough. George Kittle might be listed as a tight end, but you know what he prides himself on? He prides himself on blocking for his team.
Pancakes, right?
That's all he cares about. You might look at the stats from this year for George Kittle and go, where has he been? Well, the reason Deebo Samuel's stats are so padded is because he's had George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk, guys blocking for him. And the emergence of Brandon Ayuk has been a big part of this 49ers team. And that had not happened in the week three game. There are really a lot of elements at play here. And week three feels like a lifetime ago. I mean, it was, we've gone through 50 COVID different protocols since then. Yeah. But that, you know,
different worlds.
Yeah, exactly. These teams are both so different in the Packers and the 49ers since they faced in week three. But there are a lot of different elements at play for the Niners and now who their identity is as a team. And it's all about Elijah Mitchell, the running back. It's all about Deebo Samuel. It's all about tough physical football. It's about the emergence of guys that they weren't expecting, including Ambry Thomas and Brandon Ayuk.
So Ryan, as you heard her saying, they kind of developed this identity of being a physical, gritty team. Do the Packers have enough of that in them as well to overcome it? Or was it, like as Spoon was saying, kind of can it just come down to quarterback play? And when, if that's the case, you know the Packers have the edge there.
Well, I think the answer could be both. It's going to come down to quarterback play. Spoon's absolutely right. At this time of year, not even this time of year, in September, October, November, and December, it always comes out of quarterback play. It's a quarterback league. It's a quarterback game. So with that said, I do think this team has more grit than teams of the past. Maybe, you know, I guess I'm thinking more of some Mike McCarthy teams than I am a Matt LaFleur. I mean, Matt LaFleur came in, he's been devoted to the run game since the start. It's the foundation of what he does offensively. So, you know, they've got that 1-2 punch themselves in the backfield that I think is going to be really important in a cold weather game of Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. It might not be the 49ers might be an extreme in terms of running the ball, but the Packers can keep it on the ground too and find some balance. So, in terms of things like we were talking, like taking on George Kittle and being able to pound it between the trenches. I mean, these are things that, yes, the Packers are going to need to do. And I think that these are things that this Packers team can do.
And it might be things that this is going to sound so cliche, I even hate to say it. It might be things they want to do, because this is a game that provides a little bit of a revenge factor. I had to explain to Spoon before we started why I thought that, but the Packers could feasibly go to the Super Bowl by knocking off the last two teams that knocked them out of the Super Bowl run. The San Francisco 49ers knocked them out in the 2019 NFC Championship. Tampa Bay Bucks knocked them out last year. Tampa Bay takes on the Los Angeles Rams this week. No disrespect to Matthew Stafford, but all disrespect to Matthew Stafford. Tom Brady is going to win that matchup 9 days out of the week and 7 times on Sunday. And so it's most likely going to be the Packers versus the Bucks next week if they can win versus the 49ers this weekend. This is a 49ers team, though, Spoon, that a lot of people have kind of noticed over the past couple of weeks. You may not want to face them right now all of that to say, how much stock do you put into the revenge factor, so to speak, for the Packers, knowing that this is a team that took away their Super Bowl chance 2 years ago?
I think it's a nice story. I don't think that, you know, I mean, I think it could be a little bit of motivation. And, you know, you say before they run out on the field, you know, or and they're in their little huddle, you know, let's take, you know, let's get back at these guys and, you know, for what they did to us. But then it, you know, then it's just between the lines. So, you know, I think after the game, if they win and if they beat Tampa Bay, I think they'll admit that there was, you know, excuse me, a, you know, there was a thought that, hey, this is a chance to take our revenge and prove we're the best team. But I don't know how much of it it'll be as they're, you know, marching down the field or other than when they're gathered together near the tunnel.
How about what Devontae Adams said, though, this week, where I think it might have been to your question, Cassidy, if I'm remembering right. But I thought it was what Devontae Adams said this week was a bit he let it slip a little bit where he just kind of unprompted said he gave bulletin board material. He said we've gotten them the past couple of times. We feel like we kind of got their number now. Mm-hmm. I heard that and I was like, I mean, that's on his mind, right? I was you don't usually hear something like that. So was that to your question, Cassidy?
Because he was talking about how the 49ers had them the first couple of times, especially in 2019, and now they've been able to get them the past two times. Spoon, that pregame speech was inspiring. Let's go get these guys. So, I mean, Ryan, based on Devontae Adams' answer, do you think that is something that is in the back of these guys' minds?
It makes me wonder. My initial kind of inclination is they don't really care, at least they don't care who they beat to get to the Super Bowl. They just want to get the Super Bowl. Like that's far and away the most important priority on their mind, just getting there finally, no matter who it is against. I do think, though, like Spoon said, I do think that it would mean a little bit something more if they were able to look back at the end of this road and to have seen that they got over San Francisco and Tampa Bay. How could that not? How could that not mean a little bit more? Because those two teams, those losses hurt, especially the Tampa Bay one. That was a painful, painful loss that was really the precursor to an offseason of hell for this team. So, yeah, I think that they got down to the end of the road and they looked back and it was those two teams. I think it'd mean a little bit more.
Well, whatever happens, we will be there to cover it for you. Spoon, I'm going to let you go first in your final 60 seconds. As you said, you covered a lot of Packers 49ers games. Is this one any different? What are you most excited to see? How did you spend your bye week? How do you take your coffee? Whatever you want to say in your final 60 seconds. Go.
Yeah, I am interested to see this matchup. I do think, you know, when a wild card team comes in, and they have to play on the road, and they've played on the road, you know, or they have to play on the road all the way to the Super Bowl, it's interesting to see whether they're gathering momentum and playing really well, or are they just setting up for a divisional playoff loss? Mm-hmm. So San Francisco did not look like a great team to me against the Cowboys. I thought they showed a lot of weaknesses that Green Bay can exploit. But, you know, sometimes you just get in that game, you know, and you win by however you can. And that just saves your season and you go on and gain some confidence and go forward. So what I'm interested in seeing is which of those San Francisco is. I still think they're the kind of team that's just not going to have enough to get over the hump from a depth standpoint. But I could, you know, I would not be surprised if they won. I would not totally discount that.
That's fair.
It's much easier for a healthier team. So we'll see.
That's fair. Ryan, your final 60 seconds. Do you Do you see this game sort of being over at halftime? Is it going to be a nail biter, or are you coming in with a fit to rival Jimmy GQ in the cold?
I've been saying for a few weeks now that the team that would scare, you know, the Packers maybe the most would be the 49ers because of that run game. And I wish I could make a prediction for this game after the first quarter, because I think the first quarter of this game is going to be extremely important. There is no reason why the Packers should lose this game if they come out and play like the team they've been all year. And San Francisco is the team that's been all year. The Packers are clearly the better team. I'll say the same thing next week against Tampa Bay or LA. If the Packers play like who they are, there's no reason why they should lose that game. The thing is, we've seen this team time and time again not show up, and they've got to show up. That, without having my crystal ball, that's what I don't know. I don't know if they're going to show up. Are they going to lay an egg? Are they going to play like who they are? That's what we'll have to find out Saturday.
And find out we will. As I said, stick with PackersNews.com for full coverage as the Packers get ready to take on the 49ers in the NFC divisional round. Another chapter in what has become a pretty storied rivalry here for the Packers. This has been the Green 19 podcast, brought to you by JS Online and PackersNews.com.